Rockin' Marriage today. Here to help, Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Amy. Appreciate you being a part of the Ministry of Intentional Living as we're wrapping up this week, going into Christmas week here real soon. Can't believe it. Wrapping up 2025, just 2 weeks away. And this year will be behind us. I wonder what you're thinking about for this next year, setting some goals. One of the things that we want to help you do, one of the major areas, is in the area of marriage. And today, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We got a couple folks who are struggling, and we're going to hear what they're wrestling with. We'll get to that in a moment. And then some really helpful comments. And if you'd like to be a part of this process, you're welcome to share on our storyline at 888-888-1717 as we come to you from our Intentional Living studios and center in Tucson today. All right. Again, 888-888-1717 if you would like to share a thought. You know, we heard from Monica in New Mexico. And Monica, I know you have a question. I know you're struggling. And we got some help for you. Some people want to share some thoughts. But first, take a minute and share your question so everybody gets a clear picture of what you're facing today.
In listening to family radio, I have come across the intentional living, and I have a question about communicating with my husband and trying to, you know, we both want to live a life with Christ and to know Christ and to make Christ known. Our problems, you know, is communicating. Seems like, you know, every time we try to get our point across, or we're both trying to get our point across, we're not getting anywhere. One seems to blame the other, and I'm not really sure how to go about this, whether there's mediation needed or how, if I'm going about this the wrong way. I think I've tried several different ways, and just want to do the right thing and ask God to help me and give me the right answer, show me the answer somehow on how I'm supposed to communicate better with my husband. I don't, at this point, I'm a little confused of whether to continue with this marriage. We've been together for 37 years, married 7 years. It gives a little bit of a history. You would think we would know each other by now, yeah. But there are times where we feel we don't.
Mm-hmm. Monica, I hear your pain in your voice and in your love for God, but also concern about the state of your marriage. And that's why we're here. That's why this ministry exists. We got people who will be praying for you right now all around the country. And yesterday we were talking about principles and rules. And one of them I mentioned, I think that's being violated here, is from Proverbs 18, where it says the tongue can bring death or life. And I have seen, I've been around a long time and talked to a lot of couples. I have seen marriages that have been burned out. They're at the very brink and even over the brink. And it changed when someone decided to change the words that they're using in the relationship, maybe to express forgiveness or an apology or to say, I love you and I want something different. There's a humility in the power of using the right words that express what's really going on in our heart. I think sometimes we get it seems like we get the words we want to use when we're angry. They come to us pretty quickly. And unfortunately, sometimes profanely, as people express that kind of anger and frustration with someone. But how good are we at the humility and the humbleness to say, hey, here's where I'm hurting. This is what I'm experiencing. And this is what I want in my relationship with you. It's a powerful thing. I'll tell you what, Monica, I want to share some people who are ready to standing by to share with you some encouragement, things that they've learned. Let's go first to Kaylee. What's your one thing for Monica today?
Well, my one thing, I'm kind of embarrassed because I feel like it's so easy and I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. I am words of affirmation and my husband is acts of service. And so I have always been like, I'm going to have this long, deep conversation with him and make him feel so loved. But the two things that I found have really like made him feel loved is making him a cup of coffee in the morning and making the bed. And I was like, that's it? He's like, that makes me feel so great. Thank you so much for caring. And that has made a world of difference in our marriage.
That's pretty. Listen,
so easy.
Man, you got it made. Coffee and making the bed. We got women saying, "If that's all I have to do, I'm into this thing." Now, what about the other way? What about him with the words of affirmation? Does he stretch to you in terms of talking and sharing and encouraging you with his words and so on? Do you feel that love from him?
Yes. So it was kind of a challenge at first because he's more like action oriented. So I'd come home and like the garage would be clean and everything would be organized and everything would be done. And I'm like, oh, and he'd just be like, I love you. I showed you. So that was kind of a little bit of a challenge in the beginning. I'm like, no, babe, but just like sit down and like be a human being, not a human doing. And then like I kind of had to like teach him, like, just ask me these two questions, like, how was your day, and like, what are you, like, you know, what are your plans, or whatever it was. We both really had to learn the other person's love language, because it didn't come natural to us at all.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a great reminder, Kaylee. In fact, Monica, I would encourage you, and others who are like Monica, struggling with just lousy communication or connecting with each other, to see that these love languages make a big difference. And if you haven't read the book by my friend Gary Chapman, Dr. Gary Chapman, you should, you ought. He's written a whole pile of books on the love languages for kids and relationships. But his first one, I think, is where you need to go, just the power of the love language when it comes to your marriage. That can be very helpful. All right, for you, Monica, here's Christina. Go right ahead. What's your encouragement for her today?
I just want to encourage the women that are hurting in a marriage that when you're not feeling the same beliefs and have the same beliefs. I was just saying that I had a hard marriage too because it was where my husband didn't have that same upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three kids, and then I would go to a women's Bible group once a week, and the women there that are older really prayed for my husband to be touched by the Holy Spirit. It took at least 10 years. I think it was very hard because when you have kids and they're all going to church and VBS, and my husband would come along, but sometimes he wouldn't, but he didn't really get the fact that we as a family, we really need this. So I think it was when we started doing the VBS where the kids were going, and he would go on, you know, when they would perform on the weekend.
Right.
I mean, he'd watch it. And I think I was very blessed because when you go to with a group of women and you go over the Bible and you're praying, and then the women know you're hurt, they were praying for my husband. A few weeks ago, he was sending me Bible verses, and he has this app that reminds him to pray in the morning and evening.
Well,
and it was awesome because he is sending them to me. I would never have thought that would ever happen.
Yeah.
And never.
That's
but
great.
We talked a couple of weeks ago and how I said his grandmother was the one who was a very loving Christian woman who planted the seed for him. So I was telling him it was there. It just needed a little watering from the Holy Spirit, I told him. And he choked up.
Mm. I hope that's encouraging to you, Monica. I know we've got some more who want to share with you, but we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. If you want to share a thought or comment on our storyline, you can do so at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
The point is, here's the point that Solomon's saying to us. It's the work that you do first that makes the work you must do second a success. It's the things that you do before the things you have to do that make the things you have to do better. And I'm reminded of what Abe Lincoln said. He made the statement, he says, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend 4 of them sharpening the axe." See, the message is, it's the things that we do before the things we have to do that make the difference. Mm. Yeah, another principle. Listen, that's right out of what we were talking about yesterday on the show. If you missed the show yesterday, on this topic of the principles and rules of life. I think you would enjoy it. It's a little different than what we normally do. Check it out on our archives at theintentionallife.com. We started the show today with Monica, who's really hurting. I know many of you are praying for her, as there's been a lack of real understanding and communication, wondering what's next in her life and her marriage. Hang on, Monica. We got some more help for you coming up here in just a moment.
I got a divorce, and it was amicable, but then became ugly and ended up having to have the law involved. Long story short, God, in his infinite love and mercy, gave us a reconciliation, not to remarry or anything like that, but he reconciled us. It took 4 years after the marriage was dissolved, but our relationship was reconciled in that we agreed to be good parents to our children and to be friends. And so that is where the reconciliation has taken place. Our children see us as being loving people, kind to one another, and so both of us serving God, and we're both remarried now, and happily so.
That's a gift, isn't it? Yeah, that's a gift to those kids. And speaking of gifts, you know, those of you who have taken the time during this busy Christmas season, year-end season, to pray for the ministry of Intentional Living, this is part of Family Life Radio, Intentional Life Media, standing with us in support, we appreciate it. We just try to be as transparent and letting you know where we stand at this point. Those of you who are giving on a regular basis, thank you. We're counting on you again for this month of December. That's included. We're just seeing that. In addition to that, the last report, we have about $28,000 in additional gifts for this month to say we're there. And the funding need for 2024 will have been met. Get us set for this new year. And by the way, when you give right now, your gift will be matched, will be doubled. We have around $4,000 left in this match pool, friends who have said we're going to match everything dollar for dollar. We appreciate that so much. And by the way, each of you who are giving a gift here at the year end to help us close out the year, we have a brand new, beautiful 2025 Year of Jubilee calendar created by our staff specifically for you. And they're not going to do any good sitting here in our office. We want to get them into your hands. And so as you give to help us close out this year, not only the match, but we're also going to get to you this beautiful calendar. So pray about it. Whatever God lays on your heart. I look at those who have been giving. We have Angela who joined us from Tucson. Here's Wolf in Morrison, Colorado, started giving a very generous monthly gift saying, hey, I want to make a sizable part of the ministry for this next year. Chuck and Claire in Albuquerque joined us with over $100. And Gary in Oro Valley, Arizona, gave a gift of $500. And then one more, Mark in Hazlitt, Michigan, gave a gift of $100. Thank you. Everything is appreciated, doubled, and with a lot of thanks and appreciation. All right, how do you do that? During West Coast business hours, you can call. Next week's a busy week with Christmas. Staff will be in and out, but you can call today during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Press number 2, talk to the staff, or anytime, safe and securely at theintentionallife.com. We're going to just count this down between now and the end of the year and bring you up to date with reports. All right, Monica, you missed it maybe at the beginning, but Monica, one of our listeners called from New Mexico, really hurting, struggling, difficult marriage, and I think speaks for many who are listening. And as I said, really looking at what the proverb says in Proverb 18, that a tongue can bring death or life to any marriage. And we want you to bring life to your marriage. And so Monica and others struggling, We've got a couple more who want to share an encouragement with you. Let's go next to JC. What have you learned, JC, to help Monica?
Before, when I would get angry, I would hold it in, just kind of let it build up. I wouldn't want to talk about it. And my husband could always sense that something was wrong. So lately I've been working on sitting down and talking to him about how I'm feeling, even if it's something little that he wouldn't think is important. If it's bothering me, I'll talk to him about it. He can help me through it, and it's helped us be able to open up with each other more.
So did you hold back? You just felt like it wasn't worth sharing it, or wasn't that important?
Yeah, or it was silly or something I shouldn't be emotional about, you know, so I would just kind of hold it in, but then it would bug at me and I would just be grumpy the whole day, and he would be like, "What is bothering you?" You know, and finally I just realized I'll tell him, and he will either just hold me if I start to cry, or we'll talk through it, or he'll say, "Yeah, I know what you mean. That would bother me too." Or,
and what difference has it made in your marriage?
Well, we can open up to each other more, even on a day-to-day basis. Little things that, you know, will be like, "Oh, well, that bothers me when you do that," or "Oh, that's, I love it when you do that," or something. It's just easier to share those little things. And it just kind of brought us closer together. So
you've developed a love habit to be short accounts. If you got an issue, bring it out, get it on the table, and discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it's my own issue that, you know, has nothing to do with him, if it's drama with a friend or whatever, I can talk to him about it. And then it's not just building up inside of me, and he's able to help.
Yeah,
so it's been great.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, JC. One more for you, Monica. Here's Denise. What do you want to add to help Monica today?
Well, my husband and I have been married almost 28 years, and in our first couple months, we'd taken premarital classes and all that. Both strong Christian families raised, and we were sure we had it down. And in the first couple weeks, we realized we were talking about totally different things. We were having different conversations, and my two examples, and I've talked to the people, it's exactly the same thing, I think, for everybody, is he would say, "Do you want some French fries?" In the drive-thru, and I'd say, "No," and then I'd eat his, and he would say, "Well, I would have bought a bigger one if you'd said yes." Or when he said, "You know, where do you want to go to dinner?" I said, "I don't care." He said, "Well, I get to decide." But I do care. I want to have a discussion. And we both realized early on we were having completely different conversations without even knowing it.
Absolutely. And I can relate to the one on going out to dinner. I tell you, there's a lot of guys who can relate to this thing. Where do you want to go to dinner? And she says, my wife, Donna, says, "You know, I don't care. I know she cares. She's just not going to tell me. You know, until I'm ready to drive in the driveway," and then she'll say, "Well, I don't know if that's where I want to go tonight." So there's two different, like you say, two different conversations going on. So how did you solve it in your marriage?
Well, the problem for women is I think we somehow think all of our husbands are mind readers. And so early on, I think he learned it faster than I did. And he would say, "Okay, I know you said you don't care, but I was thinking next," and so he realized we need a conversation. Or, "I know you said you don't want any French fries. Is that because you're not hungry, or because you think you don't really want them, but you might eat them? And if you do, I'll just buy a bigger one. We can throw them away if we don't eat them." And I realized, gosh, I think he's some kind of magic genie, and I'm trying to set him up for failure, and I didn't mean to. I just didn't realize that he wasn't speaking the same language I was.
Oh, Denise, you've got to go on the road with us on our conferences for couples, because your story, I think, is a beautiful example of what happens in this thing of communication. But you've decided, instead of going to war over this, that he's going to change how he communicates to you, and you're going to accept that. Sounds like you're okay with him questioning you a little bit, so he's got clarity in his mind.
Oh, I learned that. That's exactly what I learned. I learned very, very quickly. He's not a mind reader, and he feels like I'm not communicating well. I think I'm a brilliant communicator, but obviously we're from, you know, different planets. He's using completely different words. So I started mimicking back. If he said, "Gosh, I really had a hard day," I thought he was just saying he had a hard day. Now I realize he wants me to say, "So what happened?" And before, I thought he was just making a statement. And if I said I had a hard day, he thought I was asking, "Help me come up with a suggestion or an alternative." And I wasn't. I was just making a statement. You know, another example, we were talking completely different languages.
That's right. Well, you've worked it. How many years now? You've been married?
Come up on 28.
Well, you're doing okay. It takes time to learn. I'd say to young couples, as you're getting started here, understand that these communication differences between men and women, it's universal. It happens. It's going to happen. It happens in the best of situations. That's one of the reasons when an airplane pilot communicates with the tower, they make sure they repeat what was said to them, because they want to make sure that what was said was what was understood, and what was said back confirms what was said. And that's the clarification process that many times we don't go about in our own marriages. So when the spouse says something to you, if there needs to be clarification to say, this is what I thought I heard you say, I just want to make sure I heard what you said is what you meant, so we can do exactly as you said. When those kinds of communication patterns are established in a marriage, the marriage will work better, and it does take some intentionality in terms of being focused on making sure you're being understood for clarification. Otherwise, what we do is we do a lot of assumptions. He assumes when you say, I don't want any fries, that meant you don't want any fries, and what you meant was, I'm just going to take some of yours.
Kind of embarrassing, but yes.
That's all right. That's all right. I don't want all yours, just some of them. Just some of them.
Having a sharing moment. We're feeding each other.
And, you know, it's okay to laugh about fries, but it's not so laughable when it has to do with parenting, finance, faith, relationships, and the things that are at a much deeper level. All right, just before we go to break, Tony, sounds like you're struggling with a question there in Georgia. Appreciate your call.
I've just left a 7-year marriage. It seemed like we were going through the same problems over and over and over. I mean, the exact same problems, just different situations. And there was always, it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission. And, you know, it was a whole lot of issues about money involved. She makes more money than I do. And therefore, she thought, I guess I'm a bit old-fashioned. I take the old-fashioned stance that the man is the head of a household. Money isn't involved in that. And so it was always a fight over decisions. And when I allowed her to make the decisions, it would always come back to backfire, even though I'd said it 1,000 times in foresight. You know, and it was always, hey, come and clean up my decision. Now we'll go with yours. And that was always a problem. And we just didn't know how to get over that. And the communication was horrible. You could say something 3 minutes, and later it was over with. You didn't know what was said, and there was just no communication, and the love stopped. And now that I'm away from that, I'm closer to God. How do I fix that relationship? She's the mother of my sons. I love her. How do you reconcile that? Do you reconcile that? And I guess that's my main question.
Yeah, it's a big one, Tony. And I heard a lot in your voice and in your pain there in Georgia. You guys need a reset. You know, when I hear stories like yours, my heart aches, because I know it's fixable if two people are willing to humble themselves. We were talking about principles yesterday. One of the principles is inertia is an enemy to a healthy marriage. And the fact is, you continued to keep doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results back and back. There's a point we got to say, we got to hit the reset. We got to stop. We got to get the train back on the track, and we've got to start heading in a better direction. We're going to take a quick break, Tony. Keep listening. We got some people want to talk to you in just a minute.
Take a look at your life. Do you have areas where you're not making progress or feeling stuck? Maybe you keep returning to bad relationships or habits that aren't helping you grow. In his message, Sharpen Your Edge, Dr. Randy talks about some wise words from Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Here's the universal principle that Solomon is sharing with us. Successful people keep their edges sharp, and unsuccessful people don't.
If you missed your chance to give during our year-end fundraiser, don't worry. You can give now and have your gift matched and doubled by generous friends of the ministry. When you give, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. Don't miss this opportunity to have your gift matched. Your monthly support helps people live an intentional life in Christ. Call 888-888-1717 now, or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. About 4,000 left on that match. And thank you, 888-888-1717. We're running out of time, Tony. I want you to get some encouragement. Ron, what do you got for Tony today?
Well, you've helped me a lot, Dr. Randy. 7 years ago, I asked my wife for a divorce. We were just wasn't working. And about 6 years ago, I started listening to your program. And I have followed a lot of the things you have suggested to try, such as I've gone to my wife and says, what is one thing that I can change to make our marriage better? I do that about every 2 months, 3 months, try to find something new. It started, well, I don't know anything. And then I've also gone in and says, what is one thing that shows you I love you that I do? And our marriage, we've celebrated 24 years in September. We're as happy as we've ever been. She has changed. She is trying hard. You know, and it's wonderful, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. You've done the work, though, Ron. I mean, what you've done.
I understand. But
what you said is, hey, one thing. What happens is, I think what happens to men is we get inundated with all of the books on marriage and all the things we're supposed to do, and there's 29 things, and we end up doing nothing because we get overwhelmed. And you've said, hey, what's one thing I could do? And she told you, and you do it, and you do it because you love her. And I'll tell you, that's mileage in your relationship, because she knows you're doing it because you love her. And it makes a difference. Sounds like it's been a difference maker in your marriage.
Oh, it has. You know, and I'm not perfect at changing it, but she sees that I'm trying, and she sees that I understand that that's an issue for her. You know, so it shows me that I care about her, and it's just not about me in this marriage. It's about both of us.
That's right. Hey, listen, Tony, you apply that to your marriage, it's going to make a difference. All right. Shonda, quickly, I know you want to add in. Go right ahead.
So we've been married almost 9 years, and my husband, Rex, is incredibly loving. He has two questions that he asks me on a regular basis that just melt my heart. He will often say to me, have I told you how much I love you yet today? Or he will say, have I told you how beautiful you are today? And he can do that at midnight when I'm doing homework and I'm exhausted, or I'm cooking dinner or cleaning the bathroom. It doesn't matter what I look like or how I feel. He just melts my heart when he says it.
Fantastic. That build into your marriage in those times when it's a little tougher, you're building a kind of a bank account of love in the relationship, don't you think?
Absolutely. It makes me feel like I can trust him, like I can depend on him and turn to him.
Choosing to live intentionally. Thank you for that call, by the way. Choosing to live intentionally is a decision. Those of us, hopefully including you, as we choose to live intentionally in Christ, are going to experience more peace, more purpose, more freedom in every area of our life. Not perfection, but freedom. Well, we got to run today. Thank you for being a part of the show. Love your feedback at 888-888-1717. Thanks to our members who support the ministry financially every month to keep us going, especially here at year end. Got to run. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.